And then those addicts that say there's no hope and they got to keep going and keep going to the clinic, all of a sudden realize that through your lively stone that there may just be a way where they can get on out of this mess, and they'll take a step of faith and believe that God will take care of them. Can I get somebody in the house to believe it? Are you a lively stone for an addict? Would you love the drunkard to put yourself out there and let them run all over you for the glory of God? It's hard to keep coming back to the Word, but I don't want this just to be evangelizing. I want the Word to be mixed in this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." We are not a lively stone on our own. And though your stone may look pretty and be smooth, where somebody could use what you have, in other words, your talents, will not bring life in Christ to somebody. There has to be a point in time when your faith kills the part of you that enjoys your talent. To put it like this, when I'm singing in church, if I'm worried more about the notes that I'm hitting right instead of why I'm singing the song, I'm not a lively stone for somebody that really needed that song anointed instead of that song performed. Some churches that you listen to, if you listen to the music, it sounds wonderful, perfectly arranged. But ask yourself, is this a lively stone to where somebody can feel the presence of God? Worship was not created for Christians alone. Worship was created so that other people could see your love of God. When they see your love of God, they are then convicted in their heart and enticed by the love of God to come into a new life. So when we come in and feel like that when we're worshiping, it's a waste of time, you're not even worshiping for you. You might feel good in it, but God is just anointing you in it so that somebody else will be blessed in what you're doing. If I would have thought that all the worship was just for me, I would have probably been satisfied with a steak here and a steak there and tried to go the cheap way out. But how many of us know that God is the one that owns a cattle on a thousand hills? And as for me, I'm going to eat steak every night in the house of God, and I need more so that I'm able to grow. If we all could afford it, we'd eat filet medallions wrapped in bacon and cooked medium rare. For all you well done folks, I'm sorry, we're not eating that tonight. I like to eat mine a little bit tender. I like to have my songs with a little heart. Don't sing burnout. Pray for another day. God will never have a service where He doesn't get His sincerity out one way or another. We as a church tend to get in the way and quench the Spirit when we want it to go our way. We want it to go fast. We want it to be over with. We want to move on. If we don't feel it immediately, we go ahead and push it to the side, just like a child that would push away a little bit of bottle of Gerber. Sometimes it doesn't look so attractive, but sometimes when you're hungry, you're going to eat. You've got to eat. You've got to feed. You must grow. Sometimes I'm going to turn away what God's trying to say, but I'm going to tell you, when Monday comes, I'm going to come short. Who's human in here tonight? Anytime that we don't dwell and eat and grow in God spiritually and through the anointing and through the Word, we go out and are not able to use what He's already put in here to already overcome that which He appointed for us to. You have to learn through your test to grow and be strong enough to have a testimony. You must die daily. You must present yourself living in Jesus and not of this world. We read that part in the chapter, verse, I think it's 8, chapter verse 44. It says it's of the devil. Deception, the lust of our flesh, is of the devil. I'm not giving him any glory, but I'm telling you, his dominion over the minds of the people in this world today is to such a magnitude that unless we are walking tall and bold in the anointing, we'll never defeat the enemy holding people captive in their mind. I'm not talking about a boldness where you'd come in wearing armor and say, I'm ready to take you on, like Goliath tried to boldly stand. But I'm talking about a boldness like David had when he didn't have on any armor and he didn't have a great big sword, but he had exactly what God had anointed him to do. How many of us know that even if he didn't have the ability to sling those stones, that God would have gave it to him in the moment? But God raised him up to be a shepherd and used exactly what he knew to do to destroy the enemy. Open this up in your spirit tonight. God would not have you put on a great big suit of armor and put on a sword that you could not wield. What he put in you is enough to take down the enemy. What he's put inside of your spirit is enough to take down the enemy. What he's put, somebody help me, hallelujah, what he's put inside of you is more than enough. How do you know, Jared, that it's more than enough? Because the same Jesus that saved my life is the same Jesus that goes out and fights my battles. Even when I don't have the strength to do it, fights my mental battles. Oh, so many nights I wasted. I'm trying to work on writing songs now, and I'm going to write one about this. But so many nights I've wasted my life on thoughts I couldn't change, situations I couldn't change, people I couldn't change. And my mind was far away from the one thing that would have caused me to win, that would have caused me to be victorious. Isn't it funny when we feel far away from God, in our hearts, we know better. Anybody that has ever received Jesus Christ in salvation knows better. And what I'm talking about is conviction for repentance. When we come short, we've just about made it so hard through our own judgments to even let people repent freely in the world we live in. Oh, if they go to the altar, oh, what have they been up to? My, my, my. Everybody calling on the phone. I wonder what's wrong with them. Why would they come up to the altar to pray? It's got to the point where even me personally feels like that if I went to the altar, that people would think less of me because I have to admit that I fail and come short and am weak in things and need God's strength. But we need to learn to have such a love that if somebody was finally bold enough to say, I'm ready to take this on, that we would go with the same love that we do for our own self. The Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. If you saw them hit the altar, you know exactly how they feel. Don't pretend like you don't. Don't sit there and judge them when you know a day is going to come for you when you'll need the altar of God. Don't let anything keep you from hitting an altar. Don't let anybody keep you from praying through. Don't let any man, any woman, any judgment, any church house, anybody that would tell you that it ain't right, make you feel like you can't go up and pray at an altar. One of the most forsaken areas in a church house anymore is an altar. I've heard songs, Dust on the Bible, but I'm sure there's a song out there that's called Dust on the Altar. People, I've had discussions with people about this, and they say, I wonder what makes people more afraid to pray? If it's what they're going through, or if it's what they would have to face when other people would judge them. I know that there's been nights that I've went day after day and should have already prayed through, but in me was too afraid to have people around me that I felt like may have not understood. And I think more than anything, that keeps a lot of people from being able to feel comfortable coming into the house of God and feeling like there's hope for them. You know, it's no different. You know, you'll go into a place, and I don't know if you've ever felt like this, but you go somewhere where everybody's sort of dressed very nice, three-piece suits. They look pristine, you know, not a hair out of place, and they've got them all colored the same color, and they've got everything plucked out of the right spot, and you walk in the room, and you almost feel bad just to behold them in your presence. And sometimes when we walk in with our pride and feel like we're always strong enough of ourselves to do the work, we'll come in here and try to sing glory down, but glory will move right on by this church, and we'll try to go and preach on people and tell them to live right, but we won't be willing to be humble when we say it. The word goes right on by. They don't even hear a word that you're saying. But talk to me tonight about having sincere conviction in your heart where you're able to lead somebody to the Lord. Your hair might not be in place. You might have missed one when you dyed it, but said if the praises of God will come forth out of you, that which needs to grow, well, you may have a growing pain, but you're going to eventually get off the floor from crawling and be able to start walking. And those of you that are walking with the load, you'll be able to start running. In the book of Isaiah, it says that those that would wait upon the Lord, hallelujah, that you would begin to soar on the wings of eagles. You'd be able not just to run, but to soar. We're going to read one last verse. Ephesians chapter 4. Powerful scripture right here. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head. Man, I feel the Lord. I'm going to keep reading. Even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. To put this in short, as you live in God, as you serve Him, and as we serve God together, we are then compacted in a way that is made into a body that is able to bring life unto somebody else, molded together by the substance of God. Now, I could preach on that for 2 hours, but I will do you the pleasure of not. But you are compacted together, not by our own lusts, not by our own ideals, not by our own mumbling and complaining, but it's when a brother and a sister all of a sudden come together and believe in what God is doing. The Bible talks about this connection. It says where two or three would agree, that He would be in the midst. Have you ever been in a service that was so dry, but all of a sudden two to three people decided they were going to have them some church? Got up and started serving the Lord. You'd hear a shout in the corner and somebody else would shout and you'd wonder, what is it that's going on? But just think about it. That a hand would be quite useless if it weren't connected to other joints in the body, where it would be able to not only do what it's intended to do, but work together with the other parts of the body to make a difference. God has all called us all. You read this in Corinthians. He's called us all to be different parts of the body. But as we're compacted and brought together in unity through the Spirit, we're able to be a working body for the saving of souls. So I'm not sure what I might be on the body, but I know one thing. I know that Jesus Christ is the head of the body that I'm on. He'll be the head of the body I'm on, whether I'm at this church or another church 10 years from now or another church 10 years from then. When I'm old and I can't get out and go, He's still going to be the head. When I'm in the nursing home, He's going to be the head. When I'm going to my last breath, He's going to be the head. And anybody that I'm ever around and come in contact with, as we agree together, they may be Methodist, but you can still have church with somebody that you will let the Spirit of God mend and move together. They may be Baptist, but you can shout with the best of them if you just learn to let things be joined together by the Spirit of God. If our own ideals, we'd say, well, that's not Baptist and that's not Methodist and that's not what we do. But I want you to know, when we do that, we cut the connection that God had never intended for us to get in. Every wind of doctrine means our own ideals that religion would tell us to do. When we get out of religion, people ask me all the time what denomination I am, and I don't really have an answer because I'm not sure. All that I know is that I want to be free enough to wherever church I go to, that people don't judge me because I say I'm this, but they just know that I love God. If we can get to a place where we're not ran by religion, ran by every wind of doctrine that comes by, but be rooted in the true important part of our life. I've went church hunting before. I'm not going to lie. Get dissatisfied with one place. Well, I'm going to go. Find me somewhere. Show up at that place. Never able to connect with anybody. And in fact, they would probably see me dissatisfied enough. They would wonder if I was saved. Brother, have a reverend name on my Bible. Brother, do you know the Lord? Don't act, honey. Don't act like that you've not been there where somebody, if they looked on your countenance, would wonder if God was in you. When we're not in the love of God, we're not connecting the way God intended. And then you'll have church services, and somebody amen me on this, because I feel like sometimes I'm the only one that sees this. But you'll be in services where if nobody will connect with one another, it's the most confusing, disjointed night that you ever go through. You go home confused and find yourself wondering what in the world took place. Thank God I was starting to wonder if it was just me or not. I'm glad that somebody else recognizes when we don't connect. If you recognize that we're not connecting, then the one thing that God requires you to do is to make an attempt to connect. I'm going to say it again. If we see ourselves not getting in like we should be, what is required of us is to connect with our brothers and sisters. It is a part of the Word of God. It says to exhort to one another, to encourage one another, to prophesy unto each other, to bring help, to lift each other up. There may just be one lively stone in the house of God, but I can guarantee you there will always be one. Hallelujah. God even used a donkey to make His Word come to pass. He used consuming an altar that was soaked from top to bottom, all around to the brim, filled with water, to get His will to come to pass. Anytime God wants His will, you're going to see life in somebody. God did not raise us to be a graveyard. I'm not going to put a begin date on when I was saved and go ahead and write the end date in there. I ain't dead yet. I'm alive in Christ. Therefore, I'm made a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are new. I walk by faith now and not by sight. I don't walk of my own strength anymore, but I walk in the same strength in the Word of God that says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's the same Word of God that says I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. We read that in that last verse. It talks about perfection. When you read the word perfection in the Bible, you must translate that into maturity. If you are to ever get in a place in God where you're strong enough to endure, you must learn to be mature. You must learn to be the bigger one. You must learn to forgive if they don't forgive you. You must be bold enough to still serve God even when they don't serve. Hey, God taught me this a long time ago. I've got to praise even when I don't see other people praising. I've got to preach even if I don't hear somebody say amen. I've still got to step out and do it. And I don't know who this is for right now, but you've still got to go out and do the work, even if you don't receive what you feel like would give you the strength. When you strive for perfection, you're striving to be mature. When you see somebody that has, I don't want to say this wrong, don't anybody get offended. When you see someone who's older, you assume they are mature, right? When you see someone that has been seasoned in life, you don't expect them to act as a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I grew, what did I do? I put away all the childish things. It's great to see that in the message of maturity, but consider with me that there's growth in becoming something other than a child. How do you become mature? How are we made perfect? By the wisdom of God. We hear His word like we are tonight. We allow it to be used when we actually do it and not just be a hearer. And when we do it, God blesses us for believing in faith, taking a step, for to suffer with Christ is to reign with Christ. To believe it and do it is to be in high places. Was it easy to get up here and preach tonight? Sometimes it's not easy. Brother, was it easy to open up and sing that first song? No, not at all. We're taking applications for any icebreakers that want to take on the first song at church. The first song's always hard because we're still not in agreement. So don't beat yourself up if you've sang the first song and you get down about it. We're just not in agreement yet. Sometimes I think if we would just pray a little more and break through, worship wouldn't be so difficult. You have to allow growing pains to happen, and you must consume something that will promote growth in you. I challenge you, if you feel like you're crawling, just a hand here, a push there, and you're ready to start walking, hear preaching like this, and put it in your spirit, and look at that wall behind you. And don't look at it the same anymore. Look back at your past and say, past, your history. I'm not the same person I used to be. I don't do the same things I used to do. And people may come around me that I used to hang out with, but I'm a new creature. I used to go to churches and be just as religious as everybody else, but I'm not that way anymore. I am a new creature. You know, the very evidence if there's God in you is not how much you know the Word. Some people read this cover to cover and feel like they're as close to God as touching heaven. But you will know when you love God, when you love your brethren. It's not just by knowledge alone, but it's by the love that you'll show somebody. You know, there's been some nights when we'd be practicing and, you know, here at choir practice, and God would just put something in my heart to help somebody learn something. Jared, did you have to do it? No, I didn't have to do it. Did you feel like doing it at the time? No, I didn't feel like doing it. Did you feel like encouraging somebody? No, sometimes I don't feel like it. But when I am a doer of what I hear in God's Word, in times when I need God to move, you hear this? If you heard nothing else, you hear this. In times I need God to move, when I do it, He never forsakes me. Not a time I've ever been alone. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost from the top of my head to my feet right now. Not a time that I've been alone when I've served Him. Not a time I've ever preached and did it anyway that He didn't bless me. There's been days that it was the hardest I ever preached and felt like it was such a failure. And then we'll put it out on the radio and somebody will call and say, Brother Jared, you don't know how much I needed that. And I'll send preaching through the internet to people on their phones and I think, oh, they probably never listened to it. And then all of a sudden, somebody says, Jared, that was pinpoint, spot on, exactly what I needed. So sometimes in your heart, you may feel like it's a waste to commit to helping somebody else take a step. But let me tell you something, when you do it, you will find blessings that you wouldn't have found just coming in and shouting every now and then, because God called us to be helpers, to be fishers of men. Think about that. Man, God's just fishers of men. The action in itself to fish is to draw something that's far away from you into you. That just came to me. I won't charge you for that one. To be a fisher of Christ is to reach out in faith that somebody will get a hold of what you cast out. Don't cast out your lots before the swine. You serve God with a whole heart. Do what He's called you to do in faith. And everything else, He said, if you seek the kingdom of heaven, all the other things would be added. Think about that. Church, if we put that in the bigger picture, I'm a bigger picture preacher. I don't just look at the small things. I'm seeing way down the road. When we as a church will cast our line as a body of believers and pull together for those that we love, we will see them saved. I'm hoping to see 50, 60 people saved in the next few weeks. I'm so tired of the devil cheating us out of just being what we're called to do. But I can't do it for you. Your responsibility, my responsibility as a minister is to give it. But our responsibility together when we hear the Word is to receive it and to use it. I don't pre-plan my messages. I don't read anything to try to put this together. It's not organized. In fact, most of the time I feel like what I'm saying is a mess. But let me tell you, when you sit under preaching that's led of God, it prepares you for what's ahead. You won't be blindsided. If you go to churches and the Word, you feel like you're just not connecting with it, and you go through things and you just feel like it absolutely just overwhelms you, you're not in a place where the Word of God's going freely. I hate to say that, but if we don't learn the truth, we're not made free. The truth is there's a lot of people preaching salvation but don't have the love in them to change your tire. People that want to sing holy, 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 but live so holy that they don't care about your problems. Give me 10 people that'll come in here with a sincere heart. Just give me 10 people. I don't need 1,000. I don't need the former Astro Stadium packed full of people to prove how great God is. Just get me these people in here right now. ready to serve God. And I tell you, we have exactly what we... Did anybody even doubt in their heart just a little that maybe it was going to be hard? Maybe you did. Maybe we all did tonight. And I want you to know that there is not a night that God does not supply who He wants here and who He wants to help. Those that are strong. God sent some of you in here ready to handle this tonight. Those of you that are strong ought to bear your responsibility to bear the infirmities of the weak. I don't know where all this comes from sometimes, but all I know is I'm so glad He saved me. I don't know where half of this comes from that He gives me, but all that I know is that I'm a new creature, and all I ever want to do is His will. Are you blessed tonight? I ask that all the time, but are you blessed?